Everybody likes guns. They just don't know it. Deep inside of his soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Hello and welcome to New Shooter Canada episode 117. We're starting fresh with a brand new year, so I want to wish everyone a very, very happy new year. And may 2017, almost said 2016, 2017... bring you far more pleasures, joys, and prosperity than last year. So let's get on with the show, and we'll start with what we did in guns. And, okay, now, we're starting a new year, folks, so I don't want to be causing any heart attacks or you know, any fainting out there, but I actually went shooting, believe it or not. Actually, I went and picked up my dad, I've lost track of what day we're on. The other day, anyways, we'll say. And we went out shooting our pistols and just kind of had just a plinking day at the range. Didn't really do anything spectacular, but shot our pistols. And then I guess that would have been Saturday. And then Sunday, I had to swing by my church, and the range is just up the road from the church. And so I thought, go spend some time with God, and then let's go bang off some rounds.
So you went twice in 2 days.
Yep. Well, I guess, no, I went Friday with my dad and then Saturday because I had confession on Saturday. So I went to confession and then the range is literally just up the road from my former church. So I was like, I messaged, Wanda was waiting for me to get back to her place. I'm like, yeah, I'm done at church, but the range is like right there and I have a gun and I have some bullets and they need to like become intimate together. And make noise. And she's like, you're an idiot. And I'm like, yes, I am.
I am, but I'm great. I'm going shooting, right?
So, the guy that doesn't go shooting for like months at a time goes shooting twice back to back. I think that's a great start to the new year.
Well, you said that was Friday, Saturday?
Yeah.
Today, I think that was actually the end of 2016, not the beginning of 2017. At the end of 2016. Shoot.
That's right.
So you actually want shooting once last year, once this year.
No, they're both last year.
Yeah.
Because today's the first. Well, it sounded good in my head. And hey, listen, and in my defense, all I have written down in my show notes is George, colon, I went shooting with a bunch of exclamation marks. The rest of all that other filler was just winging it, so. It all sounded good till
I like,
burst my bubble.
Yeah.
So, Thomas, what did you do?
Well, I cleaned a lot of guns and I played with a lot of guns. And I actually did go shooting this week. I took my my brother out on New Year's Eve shooting. Neither of us drink, so figured, you know, let's go make some noise and bang in the new year. And that was fun. No guns for Christmas this year.
Oh,
poor Thomas.
Well, I didn't ask for one. There is kind of surprise, but she got me this new mic, so the audio quality improved for the show, and a stand, and I got a Bushnell really small micro 3mm red dot, and my mom got me an awesome Buck 110 folding hunter with the finger glue. So I did score some good stuff for Christmas.
You mean a 3M? You mean a 3MOA red dot?
What did I say?
3mm.
Oh, MOA. I wrote MOA.
Yeah, I know you wrote MOA, but.
Oh, there. Now I can see it. Okay.
Yeah.
We got video on, and it was priceless. He just pulled his glasses out from his face and did like the old granny look, and went, "Oh yeah, MOA." There you go.
So is that for a rifle or is that for a pistol?
I'm gonna put it on the compensated 22.
Okay. Of course you are.
Well, I've got a hollow sight on it now, but it's too bright, and the dot in the center is a little bit too big. So I'm going to take the hollow sight off and put on a little bit of dot.
Okay.
Now, I just want to go back to something you said right at the very beginning. This clean some guns. What is that? I'm not familiar with that term.
Well, when you shoot a gun, it does get dirty. And since you don't shoot very much, you would know this. But once
burn!
Especially since you shoot outside and it's cold, you got to worry about condensation in there too. So as soon as you play with the gun, which you don't do, you should bring it home and clean it, by the way.
Oh, man.
Although I had, my range is indoors and they don't get cold. I can wait a little bit before I get it.
Man. I walked into that one. Man, did I. Okay. I generally, I bust your chops, but full props on you that one. That was good. I have to go put some aloe vera on that burn. That was awesome. And it wasn't even scripted.
And I took Mike's advice too. I actually pulled out my, my STI, my, Spartan, and I played with the serious spring, but I dropped the trigger pull down 3 pounds. So I'm really happy with that now. It was 4. I put it down just a little bit.
That's good.
There was no center left in that target.
Nice.
What were you shooting from?
23 yards.
23? Okay. That's good.
If I shot enough rounds at a target, there eventually wouldn't be any center to it either.
The question is, how many rounds did it take to get to that point?
I'm going to say it would take me a boatload more than it does Thomas.
Yeah. I have
like, literally, probably a shipping container from China about that much would be what it would take for me.
Well, it helps that the STI guns has really, really nice sights. The sights are awesome on it, and it's a tack driver out of the box. So usually, even you, if you concentrate, you can keep all the shots in the box.
Yeah. But even fancy guns even only do so much. There's a lot of skill involved with the shooter, too.
Yeah, and it's not a fancy gun. It's a cheap Philippine-made gun with an STI firing system in it. But factory, it was a tack driver. I think I paid it $850. It's half the cost of my Kimber Gold Match, and it's just as accurate.
Nice.
Nice gun. It was a good deal.
Mike, what did you do?
Well, I finally got out and shot my Norinco 1911.
Is that the 1911 or the 911 edition?
the 911 edition, yeah.
Santa.
So I went out and I shot it. I tried doing grouping from 25 yards, but that trigger is hard to pull. And the good news is I took a picture of my target before I ripped it off and threw it in the garbage. Because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have remembered how I did. So my biggest spread was about 2.21 inches, and I think that's at, I don't even know if you can even see this on the video for all those who are listening to a podcast, but, but yeah, so I mean, it was about 2.21 was the furthest, now it's top to bottom, and then my left to right spread was just, was 0.89 inches, so.
That was fixed sights and everything.
It has adjustable rear sights, which actually brings something up for me. How do I describe this? When I turn the adjustment as far as I can to the one side, to the right, it is not in the center. And I can see that my target is about 6 inches over from the side, and I can't adjust it, and I can't adjust it anymore to get it any more to the center.
You just have to drift the front. Is it a fixed front sight, or can you drift the front sight?
I think I can drift the front sight.
Yeah, if you can drift it, just adjust the front sight. That way you can make up the difference.
Yeah. But that was more just for doing some testing, and ended up meeting, because Sarah and I were both there, and ended up meeting someone else who was actually taking out a new shooter. So we let them shoot the my 1911 and 45 and Sarah's 1911 and 9, and just chit-chat with them for a while. But had a good time. And then I bought a bunch of Federal primers for the upcoming pistol season. They're on sale, so I bought them. And then I also bought, I finally got around to buying the upper receiver vice block. So I'll be able to take off that handguard and finally replace it. And while I was at the SFRC buying that, I was walking around and, oh, they have NEA comp / flash hiders. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to take my old flash hider off anyway, so I figured, I'll buy a new one.
Makes sense to me?
Yeah, you know, it only makes sense, right? I already have it off, so I might as well buy a new one.
And some extra crush washers.
Yeah, well, it comes with one, so I should be good. And then, Sandra was good to me. I got some ammo cans for storing stuff, a Torx screwdriver so I don't break my new my new floor end, and a Dremel tool so I can break my 1911. So yeah, that's about all I've done in the last while.
Oh, I'm going to add one more thing. I was trying to convince Santa today, as we sat in man cave number 2, aka his garage, that we, I think I mentioned it 2 weeks ago, that we might put together a pheasant hunt. And so I'm trying to convince him to buy a shotgun, and he laughed at me and told me to go to a bad, bad place. So actually, what he said was,
South Pole?
He said a naughty version of screw you. I'm not buying you a shotgun. And I was like, no, not buy me a shotgun. I said, I'm going to use Wanda's shotgun. I said, buy yourself a shotgun. He goes, yeah, so you can get it someday? I'm like, well, that's just immaterial. I said, oh, and when you go to buy it, bring me along because I'll let you know which one I want.
Yeah. What if Wanda wants to come for the pheasant hunt?
She doesn't have her hunting license.
She's got time.
Well, I suppose. Well, she doesn't have her firearms license yet. She won't be able to get the firearms hunting license.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Marley, she just got her hunting license and her pal.
Yeah, because if you go just for your hunting license, all you can do is bow.
Yeah, you get like your H1 or whatever, and your H2 is the one where you can use a firearm with it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's bad on her for, which is funny because she sort of kind of owns a shotgun. And, for her birthday, she's sort of kind of getting a Ruger 10/22. She's gonna have a shotgun and a rifle, but no pal. So, I've got a wicked Ooze Con in my safe, and then I'll have a Mighty Girl Camo Ruger in my safe right next to it until she gets her pal, so. Anyway, so yeah, so that was the other thing I was trying to do, was trying to convince, my dad to buy a shotgun.
He wouldn't bite though, eh?
No. I was telling him about how we're going to be putting together probably a spring and a fall hunt. And my dad's like, oh, that's awesome. Can I come? I'm like, yeah, sure. And that's how the conversation started. And I'm like, oh, but you need to buy a shotgun. And then, of course, I just shared how that part of the conversation went. And I'm like, well, then you don't get to come. He goes, well, bring my bow, my crossbow. I'm like, it's a gun hunt, not a bow hunt. Why don't you still hunt? And I'm like, no. Don't be so cheap. Go out and buy a damn shotgun.
Well, you have a side-by-side that you use for a cowboy, don't you?
Yeah, he brought that up too, but I want him to buy a shotgun. I don't want him using my gun. I don't want him using Wanda's gun.
Does your shotgun not have interchangeable chokes on it, George? Your cowboy shotgun?
No, it's just...
Oh, okay. It's
just fixed.
Most of them don't.
So, yeah. So that was a fun conversation. I haven't given up on him yet. He will be owning a shotgun.
Well, you can get them cheap, too. You can get those Ooze Cons for $300, or you can get the Turkey Made Winchesters for $400, or Ospreys are reasonable.
My dad, my dad's buddy was there, too, and we were talking about Wanda's, and he's like, oh, yeah, Wanda's gun is awesome. It's great. I'm like, I know. I love that thing. I could, after a round of cowboy, my shoulder starts getting a bit sore from the coach gun, but I can bang through like 3-4 boxes with Wanda's Ooze Con and nothing. I love that.
What would happen though if Wanda had said to your dad that he could borrow the shotgun before you're allowed to borrow it?
Shotgun's at my place. It's in my possession. I make the rules. And hopefully Wanda doesn't listen to this episode.
Yeah, you make the rules as long as she goes along with them, right?
Well, as long as she just doesn't know about them, really. It's when she finds out.
If you message Wanda, I'll ask her. Who's Georgie?
Are you messaging her right now?
No.
Oh, it looked like you were looking down at your phone. I'm like, you bucker.
Yeah, I was making you think I was texting you.
All right, well, let's. Was there anything else, Mike, before I derailed your segment?
No, that was pretty much it.
Alright.
I got a question, Mike. Did you measure the trigger pull on the NARC?
Yes, I did, and I and I wrote it down, and I can't remember. It's about 8 pounds, but it's kind of mushy. Like, there's a swing of about, like, a pound or something like that, where I'll go down to, like, 7.5 and up to 8.5, so. It feels hard to pull. Like, at that weight and with that light of a gun, it's kind of hard to pull, so. I'll be doing a lot of work on it, but I want to get some sort of baseline on it.
Good luck.
What, you don't think I can get that down?
Oh, I know you can. I know you can. It's just, you're going to have your hands full.
Yeah, well, I bought it for a project gun, right? And that's exactly what I signed up for, so.
Nope. All right, so that will bring us to Guns in the News. I just closed my show notes. All right, story one. Thomas, take it away.
Story one is that Sig Sauer has a recall, the MCX Mandatory Carriage Assembly Replacement Program. Sig Sauer is conducting a mandatory replacement of the cartridge carriage assembly in the Sig MCX rifles. Sig has found through extensive factory testing that is extremely rare instances. Nothing's been reported so far, but it may exist to cause conditions may exist to cause unintentional discharge. So failure to follow the loading process and basic rules of firearm safely, there could be a discharge. Right now, they're telling you to stop using the rifles, and if you have one of these SIGs, serial number 63C, put the old man glasses down here, 00044 to 3702 are affected, call SIG customer services for instruction. If your serial number is 25,000 or 2,500, I can't see that.
25,000.
Or higher, you're exempt from this program. So the link for the I don't think any of us can afford one of these rifles. They're a few grand, aren't they, Mike?
Yeah, these are like $3,500, I think.
Yeah, so if you do have one of these rifles, you'll know about this already, probably.
Yeah.
All right.
What's story two, George?
Story two. Actually, before I get to story two, I wanted to read something that came across my Facebook real quick. A buddy of mine posted this up. 2016 had to go ahead and make one last claim before kicking the bucket. Carlos Ray, quote Chuck Norris, is an American martial artist, actor, film producer, screenwriter, died this morning in his house in Oklahoma at the age of 76. He is feeling much better now and was fully recovered from this minor annoyance. So he dodged a quick one. Seriously? I don't get a laugh or anything out of that. I think that's freaking hilarious.
Chuck Norris died too.
Chuck Norris dies and he comes back to life as a minor, and it's a minor annoyance? Crickets. My goodness. I saw that and I thought that was hilarious. Oh my goodness. Please write in and tell me that I'm not the only one that thought that was funny. Host at newshootercanada.ca. All right. I'm just burning. I'm crashing and burning. All right, back to the serious stuff here. Turkey hunting changes confirmed for Ontario in 2017. This is an article from Steve of Ontario Out of Doors magazine. Ontario's wild turkey hunting season will look a little different now that proposed changes have been confirmed for January 1st, 2017 implementation. Easier said than said. On September 19th, the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, stop laughing at me, posted a proposal on Ontario's Environmental Registry that would alter the wild turkey hunting regulations. The post was open to public comment until November 3rd. The changes standardize April 25th as opening day for the spring wild turkey season. I am doing horrible. Previously, when this date fell on a weekend, the season start was delayed until the following Monday. George.
Didn't you want the story because you already read it?
I did. It's like, I know. I only got three more paragraphs. Bear with me.
Or hey, you notice he does read like Santa, right?
Shut up. Or worst case scenario, hit your 15-second fast-forward button twice. Okay, continuing. The proposal also called for the elimination of the separate wild turkey hunter education course. Instead, the course content will be incorporated into the Ontario Hunter Education Program that all new hunters must pass. Other changes include allowing hunters to use size 7 shot. Previously, only shot size 4, 5, and 6 were legal. A proposed spring season will open in WMU, Wildlife Management Unit 36, and a fall season in 94. That's WMU 94. As well, a bows only season is confirmed for October 1st to the 31st in all wildlife management units that have a fall season. Gun seasons.
Oh, that's excellent.
It is. Gun seasons in those areas will remain unchanged. Lastly, everyone applaud because my portion's coming to an end. The proposal called for a clarification of the minimum bow weight required to hunt wild turkey. The weight will be clarified in the regulations to match the requirements for white-tailed deer. Example, minimum draw weight and length. So concludes my reading.
Actually, that wasn't too bad. That was one of your better ones, George.
No, it wasn't. I did a horrible job on that.
That's what I need.
I still think that Chuck Norris post was hilarious.
So what does this mean for people like myself who have a hunter's license, but not the wild turkey portion of it? Because if they're eliminating the separate wild turkey part, does that mean that for people like me, I have to still go do it?
I think you'd probably be included on your renewal.
Or do I automatically get it now?
You know what? I would call the ministry on that one.
Yeah. Because I was thinking about taking the course this year, but with this, it sounds like I either might not have to take it, or they're going to say, I imagine they're going to say, you know, for the next 3 years, if you don't have it, you still have to do the course. But after 3 years, if you still haven't done it, you just get it.
They should have integrated turkey hunting when they reintroduced the bird, what, 20, 30 years ago.
What, is there a reason why it was a separate course?
Because I think turkeys were almost hunted to extinction in Ontario, and they actually had to, like, pardon me?
They were extinct in Ontario. They were reintroduced. And the problem with turkeys is that they don't want you stalking turkeys because you're going to sneak up on another hunter is what you're going to do. So that's why they want you to teach you how to properly hunt turkey. You have a place where you've got some type of obstacle behind you, a rock or a tree, because you're hiding in camouflage, mimicking a bird that people want to kill. So
yeah, I always thought it had more to do with as a cash grab to compensate the province for trying to reintegrate turkeys into an area where hunters had driven them to extinction.
That too.
Yeah,
it was a cash grab because I think it was done and it was handled by the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters.
Oh, okay.
I think they ran that program. And it was a cash grab, but I can understand, because there was a lot of hunting accidents in the state. People today still get killed hunting turkey.
Oh.
You have people out there that are poaching, don't have licenses, and they come up and they start stalking the birds and they end up shooting a poor hunter dressed in camouflage against a tree. They'll see his decoy and they'll fire at his decoy and the shot will hit the guy in camouflage because they don't see them. So that's why they teach you to hunt turkey the way that they do.
Huh. I did not know that.
At least that's what I learned when I took the course.
Fair enough. You're the only one of us that's taken the course, so.
Everybody passes. Nobody fails the course. It's a cash grab.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when my license, my outdoor card came, there was no T on it. So I called them up and I said, well, where's my, the T on my license? I said, I took the course. And she goes, well, what's the name? I said, well, or the number. I said, actually, I have my old tag. And I gave her my old tag number, and she said it was in somebody else's name. She says, who's so-and-so? I said, I don't know who they are, because this is my tag number. They need to do it and gave me another tag. But they assigned my name to somebody else.
Lovely. That bodes a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
Well, you have to find the course. They book up so far in advance, you can't get in the courses, and it's just stuff you could read.
the turkey course now, wasn't it pretty much you just had to buy a DVD, prove that you bought it, and then you could go to pretty much any hunter's ed course, and at like the end of it, they'll let you do like the 15-minute written test or whatever. You'd have to, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. You just have to prove that you paid for the DVD and you rate like a 15-minute test, I think, and then bam, you got it.
That makes more sense than the old system.
Yeah.
I said it's the Ontario Outdoors, the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters, I think, were running that. So they're probably going to be upset because they lost their cash there.
Yeah. Well,
the populations are very healthy now, at least on all the routes that I drive. I see tons of them. And when they start showing up on the side of the road as roadkill, you know the population's got to be healthy. I don't know if that's scientific or not.
They got a few to spare.
The flock's gotten so big and so dumb they're wandering into the streets.
I've got a lot of coyotes around here, and we still see lots of turkeys. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, 402, when you're driving on the 402, especially heading west, you start checking out the fields, and you'll see... What's a turkey flock called? Are they called a flock? I don't know.
Sure.
Whatever a group. Sorry, cactus. Whatever you call a group of turkeys.
Dinner.
Da-da. But you'll see tons of them. It's funny because one side of the 401 or the 402 is like turkeys all the way down to Sarnia, and then coming back, the other side's got all the deer. And if you're driving it in the middle of the night, you got to watch out for the coyotes that are going from one side to the other.
Yeah, a group of turkeys is called a flock. A group of wild turkeys. If they're domesticated, then they're known as a rafter or a gang.
Well, I've heard gang, because my friend actually, she raised turkey, and they were free range on her property, and they were attack turkeys. If you came to that front door and they didn't know you, you would attack by the turkeys.
I saw a Dirty Jobs episode once that involved turkeys. And how little baby turkeys came to be.
didn't know, George?
anyways, moving on. Why do you guys let me on this show? I, like, bring nothing to the table. Except for derailing. Alright, story 3, Mike.
Comic relief.
I know, but you guys don't laugh at my jokes.
Illegal entry at the border. Armed man arrested near St. Bernard de l'Ecole, December 29, 2016, Montreal, Quebec. On December 23, 2016, the RCMP arrested an individual near the Canadian-US border. The male suspect had just illegally crossed into Canada near St. Bernard de l'Ecole and had in his possession a bag containing 24 handguns of various calibers. At least 10 of the prohibited weapons in his possessions were found to be loaded. Another handgun, which the suspect originally had in his possession, was later found in the snow by the police officers who had originally pursued him. U.S. Border Patrol officers had notified their Canadian counterparts with the Integrated Border Enforcement Team, Champlain Detachment, of a suspicious male they had observed walking towards Canada. The male was quickly arrested by RCMP first responders after he had attempted to flee. Someone's name that I can't pronounce, a 36-year-old male from Toronto, is known to police for various weapons and drugs-related offenses. He had an outstanding warrant for his arrest from Toronto.
Oh, lovely. Good, upstanding citizen this young man seems to be.
Yeah. A bag of guns. I just imagine a brown bag full of guns.
I think you're muted, Thomas.
Sorry, I was coughing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, go Canada. It's funny because, you know, we always hear about how there's guns coming from the U.S. into Canada. It's not very often you hear Canadians trying to smuggle guns to the U.S. Well, that's kind of
funny. Well, actually, that's the big thing is they're trading, well, what's the thing that the police are saying? Guns for drugs?
I wonder if that's covered under NAFTA.
Well, yeah, it is.
That's why Trump hates NAFTA so much. Come on, guys. You, at least sympathy laughs. Come on. Give me something. All right. What's new in the industry, Thomas?
Nothing.
Discuss we're what's in this month's Caliber magazine. We should all have a copy.
So before we started the show, George, I figured, well, we'll just give us some good articles in Caliber. George doesn't have his. Mike hasn't opened his yet, and I just saved mine from Recycle. Our guest more or less canceled at the last minute on us, so we don't have a guest tonight. So George is going to do some tap dancing for us all to see.
Okay, yeah, Mike made a comment about listening to last year's... Okay, we're going to just go into the main topic, and just we're going to wing it on a prayer today. Mike had made a comment about I'm in trouble because he listened to last year's New Year's show, and I'm in trouble. What was that all about?
Well, you're not in trouble.
What did I say?
I was just listening to your New Year's resolutions. Well, number one was you were going to finish building an AR. Because, and Mike. Here it gets better, you got gift cards to buy parts for your AR, and that's why you were going to finish it. And you're all excited.
I end up now, buying
you did
ammo.
Get those parts, and you did install them, did you not?
No, I bought ammo.
Did you did you finish building your lower?
Yeah.
Because at the time you were talking about buffer tubes.
Oh no, I haven't got that part yet. That's the next part I'm on. I've been on that part for like 2 years now. Well, I got the lower parts. I got the lower parts kit in.
He's got a pistol grip now.
We actually had Trevor on, and we did an actual episode on how to install the lower parts kit.
Yeah.
How far back was that?
Well, you didn't hear the entire episode because they went through it, and then George and Trevor were on the side, and Trevor had to explain over and over and over again to George how to actually do it.
He actually had to turn his show part, his he video just walked him through it. He had to turn his video on. He's like, no, George, it's not that difficult, man. Look at the screen. See this part? You turn it this way. I'm like, oh that makes sense. He's a very, very patient man. Far more patient than I think I could have been.
He does teach special kids. He might be used to dealing with you.
Ow! Thomas is just zinging them tonight. Oh my goodness.
Get back here for all the old jokes.
I was going to say, I'm used to dishing it out, but man, and you're coming back with some zingers. Man, I'm proud of you. You're doing awesome.
Starting off the new year with a bang.
No doubt.
I did, actually.
Holy cow, he's just burning, man. That's awesome. Okay, so clearly I failed on that resolution. The AR is still not built yet. What else did I say?
You also said that you're going to go to at least 4 cowboy matches.
Oh, I don't think I made it out to one last year.
Come on.
Hold on. If he's going through George's stuff, he must have my stuff coming up next then.
I have your stuff, but yours was very small compared to George, so... But don't worry, you still fail.
Okay, so AR, still not built. Cowboy matches, didn't even make it to one.
You're also supposed to work on your cowboy costume, too, so...
Oh, yeah, that's an epic fail.
Can you not even say you bought, like, a hat in your travels as a trucker now? Like, a new cowboy hat? Actually, you bought a cowboy hat instead of just your baseball cap you show up with?
No. It's a cap that he got in a case of beer.
No. It's even worse than that.
Is it a Corona cowboy hat?
Almost. When my dad and I were going to Hamilton Tiger Cat games all the time, if you signed up for their MasterCard thing, they'd give you these, like, straw cowboy hats. So what I did was I just kind of ripped the Hamilton Tiger Cat logo off the front of it, and that was my cowboy hat.
I think there's a rule in cowboy shooting that says you're not supposed to wear straw hats.
Yeah, well, you know, I show up on the short bus. Their expectations are low.
Well, while you're trucking around the U.S., find a nice place to buy yourself a real cowboy hat or a boots, and then you can say you've worked on your costume for the year.
All right, I'll try and do that. What else did I say?
Those were just the ones I wrote down. I think the rest of the ones that you gave were your, if I win the lottery in the next year, the other thing that we'll do with the money.
Oh.
So they were dreams.
A little out there.
Yeah. But for Thomas, I have get a progressive press.
Oh.
I take it you forgot about that one.
I didn't. I was going to bring it up this Christmas, and I decided I wasn't going to get a big ticket item this year, so. I have looked at them. I decided I might go for the Harmony.
Yeah, that's a good press. I like it.
My dad's actually looking at getting 9mm Norinco, and Marstar's got them on sale, and he was asking me about it, and I was like, I said, they're Chinese guns, right? So they're hit and miss. You're taking your chances, but they're a $350 gun. if you can get 1 year out of it, I think you're in the win column. So then that led me to go, oh, you know what you need to do once you get the Norinco?
You need to buy you can get it?
You need to buy a progressive press to reload for it. And he looked at me, and we're sitting in the garage, and my reloading bench is like right there. He looks at my reloading bench, looks at me, and he goes, no, I'm not even touching that one.
Oh, that actually reminds me. One of your Swing for the Hills one was to buy a 9mm pistol. I think you were talking about getting a Glock at the time.
Oh, could be.
I think you wanted to get a 9mm pistol for Rick's course.
Oh, that could very well be. I still want to do that. Get a 9mm.
Yeah, well.
You end up using for Rick's course.
Oh, it was one of his. I can't remember what it was now. MMP, I think?
Yeah.
I think it was his MMP. It was a nice gun. Okay. I like it. It was nice. I like the 9mm.
Yeah, nice.
It's funny, my ammo can's half full of bulk 9mm for a gun that I don't even own. I got tons of that. I got
maybe
lots
that's
of
why your dad's thinking of getting a Norinco in 9mm so he can use up your ammo. So,
yeah. I never even thought of saying to him, hey, yeah, go ahead, buy that 9mm. I got ammo for it.
Yeah. See, that would have been the smart thing, and then you could have picked up the brass afterwards and handed it to him and just been like, here, you try reloading this on a single stage. That's how you get a progressive press.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
What else did Thomas...
Thomas also had... He was going to try IDPA. I think at the time you're ranting about how you didn't... I think you didn't like something about your shooting club and how they're running their pistol matches or something like that.
So, yeah, that too.
So you're looking at, or I think you just said that you're looking at expanding your horizons, and you're also complaining, I think, about IPSC and how full it always is in the Toronto area.
And so, that hasn't changed either. I did look at some of the IDPA matches around here, but they all have club matches during the week and at night, and I work during the night, so.
During the week? They don't have them on weekends?
Not near here. Up the street, it does IDPA.
Peterborough?
The problem with me, I need something on a Sunday. I work late shifts on the Saturday.
But did you look into Peterborough?
That's an IPSC club.
I'm pretty sure they have IDPA too.
Peterborough Fishing Game?
Yeah.
I think it's mostly IPSC.
I just pulled it up.
I have shot IPSC matches there. Beautiful, right?
It says right here, it includes IPSC, IDPA, and SAS, or Cowboy Action.
I've never done it up there.
No. And I know that Peterborough also does I-Corps now. So if you got a revolver and you want to come out and shoot I-Corps, there you go.
I sold my revolver. The last revolver.
You sold your revolver? Why?
I sold it to John.
I was just going to say, didn't you sell that to John?
Yeah, he gave... George such a sweet deal on his pistol. I gave John a sweet deal on the Smith & Wesson Model 19.
And the love goes round and round.
Yeah. I gave him a good deal on it.
Well, that was nice of you, but now you need to go buy a revolver. Give yourself a New Year's present for doing such a good job on not buying yourself a gun for Christmas.
I've looked and looked and looked at new revolvers. I like the GP100. It's built like a tank, but tuning them's a little bit difficult. The 686 are a fortune these days.
What's difficult about shooting a GP100?
It's just tuning the triggers. Like, they're incredibly accurate because you've just got that one spring, correct? It's a different spring setup than a 686.
There's two springs. There's the hammer spring that you can lighten up, and then there's the trigger return spring that you can lighten up.
But you still don't get it as light as a 686. I have shot some nice GP100s, and the trigger's just... It's just not a Smith & Wesson trigger.
Oh. I don't know what this...
You can't go wrong with a Uberti Cattleman.
You can if you're trying to do cowboy, or if you're trying to do I-Cor.
You're talking about those Chinese guns. I went on the Marstar site this weekend before Christmas, and they had the Pietas, which are, I think they make some of the Uberti's. They had the really nice case hardened 357 with a 7.5-inch barrel that I liked, all custom tuned and everything.
Yeah, but Uberti's aren't Chinese. That's,
Italian, I think.
Yeah. Right? Who owns Stoger now?
Right. No, I'm saying Marstar sell Italian guns too, not just the Chinese crap. They do sell,
I thought you were saying that the Uberti's were, Chinese. Pietas aren't Chinese either, are they?
Oh, no, no.
No.
Then what was your reference to Chinese?
Marstar sells a lot of Chinese garbage, but they do have some nice other guns that aren't Chinese.
Oh, okay. Just the way you said it was, you said the Chinese, you're talking Chinese guns and Pietas and Uberti's. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't think you're the, I know Uberti's are definitely, they're Brazilian. That's it, Brazilian.
Oh, okay.
Besides that, that was full of espresso and ice cubes. I'd be bouncing off the walls.
Yeah, and our listeners are going to appreciate that. Because I can see you, but nobody else can. Well, Mike can.
Yeah.
All right. Any other fails?
That's all I had written down, so.
Right. So I got off light compared to George then.
Yeah, I think you didn't swing for the hills. You didn't give out as many resolutions, so.
All right. I haven't actually... None of this for the listeners. None of this is actually prepared. Let's see what I can come up with for New Year's resolutions for this year. Okay, this one's for Tim. I'm gonna buy at least one part for my AR.
One part? Come on!
Takedown screw?
I'm gonna message you like next year, right now, being like a year, being like, hey, did you get that one part? You're just gonna run out to Home Hardware, buy a screw, and be like, see, I got something!
It'll hold up a swivel.
Yeah.
Come
on, finish your lower. At least finish your lower.
Well, that's my plan, is to get the buffer tube, buffer, spring, and,
well, and I mean, stock. You buy the buffer tube and spring and everything, you buy as like, you can buy it as a complete set for like $80.
Right.
And then all you need is a cheap, buttstock. You can buy like the, what are they? Like they're the super generic one for like $20.
Yeah.
So for $100, you could finish your lower.
Yeah. So that's my next step. So I got 364 days.
One piece a year.
Actually, at this rate, it's like one piece every other year, every 3 years.
George is so cheap, his butt cheeks squeak when he walks.
I think you made the same joke a year ago.
That's exactly. He's still doing it.
I ain't giving you credit for that, Zinger. You gotta be more original.
What was the last thing you bought yourself, George?
I can't remember what her name is now. Father, forgive me for I have sinned. last thing I bought myself was a case of beer.
I can honestly say I haven't done that recently.
So, Alright, so back to my New Year's resolutions. Alright, so I'm gonna buy at least one part for my AR this year. And I'm not gonna be quite as ambitious and say four cowboy matches. I'm just gonna say at least make it out to one cowboy match. And what else? And I'm gonna put that, buying that 9mm back on. Although I'm saving up for a wedding now, but, ah. Maybe that'll be my wedding gift to Wanda. I would love to add a Mosin, get like a full size Mosin.
I had them on clearance at the Canadian Tire across the street from me.
How much?
$250. They had a really cheap one out there.
$250. Yeah, that's pretty standard. I think Marstar has them for like $259. So. Let's see, what else that's reasonable? Oh, I know what I said last year. Didn't I make a reference last year that I was going to try and go out shooting at least twice a month?
You may have.
I think so. So we'll continue with that one. Try to go shooting at least twice a month. Hey, I did it in December.
I also remember somebody saying that they were going to get their Appleseed patch last year, too.
No, I don't think I ever said I was going to get the Appleseed patch. Hey, I may have an overinflated sense of my own self, but I still have enough reality to know that I suck at shooting. I enjoy it. I love it. I just suck at it.
Well, maybe one of your New Year's resolutions should just be to not finish last at a cowboy match.
Yes, that's a good suggestion.
Yeah,
that's a match. You can do that.
Second last.
One step at a time, right?
Second last. I'll bring an air horn and whoever's like just ahead of me. Oh, sorry. I think that was a miss, by the way. No, I'll be a judge. That way I could really stack the deck in my favor. Nah, that was a miss. Spirit of the game, 30 seconds.
When you're one of the when you guys do the judges, do you have one judge or do you have three?
Three, but
yeah,
I have a very loud and domineering personality.
No.
Yes, I do, Thomas. You should know that.
Thomas, do you have any resolutions? Do I just pack on the ones you had last year?
That's what honestly, I did. It's easy.
Mine is I have to quit smoking.
Yeah.
They have pills and patches for that, you know.
Yeah.
When I found out my drug my benefits covered the patch and Zyban, I was like, "Yeah, what the hell?" And let me tell you, you get on that full strength patch and you're popping antidepressants, man, you are one happy mofo. Nothing is gonna bring you down. You're like, oh, I'm in heaven. You're like walking on cloud nine for 2 weeks because you're like stoned on nicotine and on antidepressants. It's awesome.
There's a lot that I tried to quit smoking. I couldn't use that because the Zyban actually interfered with the medication that I was taking.
Oh, well, then you're screwed.
Way to be encouraging.
I don't take it
there.
Anymore, so I can try
it. Well, there you go. And you work for the government, so I bet your benefits will probably cover both.
Only once for the smoking.
Yeah, but it'll probably cover the patch and
prescription. Most drugs.
My doctor said if you use both of them, you have a much, much higher chance of success. So I was like, sure. It was the first 2 weeks were the greatest 2 weeks, and those were awesome. So if you're a smoker out there and you can get the patch and Zyban, let me tell you, it's at least worth the two weeks.
So is Zyban an antidepressant?
Yeah.
Because
when you get your cigarette craving, that's essentially what it is. It's like an anxiety attack, right?
Yeah.
So you take your, you light a smoke and the anxiety attack goes away, right? Well, the antidepressants, that's what they do. They combat the anxiety part of it. Well, that feeling of
get a buzz at the same time. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's not so much you get a buzz. You just, you're like euphoric for 2 weeks. You're just like nothing. Like you could like watch like a herd of like puppies and kittens get run over by like a wild bus of some kind, and you'd be like, that's unfortunate. Like, it just, nothing bothers you. It was awesome. Mike's almost crying.
Oh, jeez.
I'm helping you. I'm trying to encourage you.
I think Mike's having a stroke.
What does this have to do with shooting?
Anything. Anything. Let's start with anything.
What about you, Mike? What's your New Year's resolutions?
Not get DQ'd in Florida.
Yes, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I don't want to go all the way down to Florida to a state championship and then, because knowing me, it's not going to be like a DQ for something, I don't want to say worthwhile, but it'll be for something so stupid. And I just know it. It's going to be for like dropping my gun or something like that. I'm going to pull it out of my hand and have butterfingered and whoop, there it goes. So.
You shoot in a different class than Sarah?
Yeah.
You're going to take the revolver and she's going to do the 9mm?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we had originally signed up with, so we're just going to stick with that.
Now, is there a qualifier to make it into a state match?
Kind of. In IDPA, they do what they call a classifier, and the classifier is like a preset course, and when you shoot it, depending on how well you do, you get scored as a novice, marksman, sharpshooter, expert, master, yeah, any of those. And you have to be at least a marksman to get into a state championship.
Oh, so you don't have to win like X number of matches or win any specific matches to make it?
No.
You just have
to. It's not that hard. And I think really the only reason why they do that is just to kind of do a, just to make it so someone doesn't go to a classifier who's like never shot a gun. Technically, you always get classified. Like, you can't not get classified as long as you complete it, and you'll get novice.
Right.
But I think they just want to make sure that you're not like, oh, this is my first match besides the classifier I shot last week, right?
Yeah.
So there's not really that much to it to getting in. But you have to go shoot so many state championships in order to get into the nationals.
Oh, okay. So nationals, you have to.
Yeah.
There's a, they like have a match requirement.
Yeah, there's like a point system. So every like state championship you shoot in, or what they call level 2 matches, you get a point. So when you apply to get into nationals, I think it goes based on how many like highest points down. So the more matches you shoot, the better chances you have of getting in. But
gotcha.
That's in Texas in September, and I don't plan on going down to that, unfortunately. So.
So what else do you have for New Year's?
I don't know. I think I gotta pick a gun this year to shoot in competition and stick with it. Cause I've been flip-flopping about whether I'm gonna shoot the revolver this year, whether I'm gonna shoot the 1911, whether I'm gonna go back to my SIG, so.
Shoot the 911.
Yeah, the 911. So. I gotta pick a gun and stick with it because, yeah, I'm just flipping back and forth and it's for no real reason, so. I gotta pick something and get good with it and stick with it.
Cool.
Well, you're just changing divisions when you do it anyway, right?
Yeah, I'm changing division, but I mean, I don't know. I want to pick one class and stick with it for long enough that I can get to a higher level. See, like right now, I'm marksman and revolver, and I'm sharpshooter and stock. I mean, it would be nice to pick one division and stick with it and see if I can get up to expert or, you know.
Well, you just started on the revolver, so why don't you take that one as far as you can?
Yeah, I might. I don't know, I just haven't decided which one I'm gonna do. It just gets frustrating shooting the revolver when there's not, like, there's only one or two other revolver shooters in my area, and since I started shooting the revolver, they haven't shown up with theirs. They've brought, like, other guns instead. So, it gets frustrating when you go to every match, and you're never really getting a good comparison of how you're doing. When there's no other revolver shooters there, you're comparing yourself against guys with semis, right?
Yeah, when I started doing Yipsec, there was only one other guy shooting revolvers.
Yeah. So, I'm going to keep shooting Revolver and I-Corps because that's a Revolver-only game. But when it comes to IDPA, I might pick something else. I just want to be able to compete against other people and really compare myself, right? So
it's overrated.
What, not finishing last?
Being burdened with all this wanting to win stuff. Who wants to get weighed down with competition?
I'm just trying to be the best Mike that I can be.
Not everybody gets a trophy. Of yourself. You have to earn the trophy that you get. And it's nice.
Yeah.
And it feels good when you get the satisfaction.
Exactly. And that's just it, right? Because every time it's like, oh, you won Revolver. It's like, yeah, because I'm the only one here. I also technically lost Revolver, too.
Like it's that way.
Yeah. And then I look at the score, like the overall scores, because I have no other way of comparing myself to other people, and I end up in like the middle of the pack, and it's like, well, did I end up in the middle of the pack because I'm a better shooter than some of these people are with like semi-autos, or am I better than them because this is their second match and they still don't know how to run their gun? Right? So, it gets frustrating.
I'll show up with my revolvers and I'll put you to the test.
Hey, I'll do a cowboy action match against you.
Yeah, you'll probably beat me. Everyone beats me. I don't know if I should share this on the air because this might fall into the category.
That's like the equivalent of saying, here, hold my beer.
Well, we're getting there almost.
This is going to be epic.
This might fall into the category of taking my scope off when I clean my rifle.
Oh, no.
So I tried washing my brass in that Dawn water solution.
Okay, yeah.
And it wasn't really coming clean, and I thought, maybe I just need to let them soak. And so I let them soak, and then I kind of rinsed them off and kind of forgot about them. And then I was like, there's kind of white residue in there. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not. Let's reload them and shoot them and find out what happens.
So what really... you just didn't rinse out the soap, or?
No, well, you know, I'm like the king of half-assing everything. I kind of sort of rinsed it out. Oh, and I found an actual live round in with it. I was like, oh, I don't think I'll shoot that.
Now, so you did let the cases dry out before you reloaded them, though, right?
I'm pretty sure they were dry. Yeah, they were dry. There was like a Mike. Mike's like, he's like, oh, is there please another show I can join? Anyway, so when they were shooting them, every once in a while, I'd pull the trigger and it was a little bit of an extra loud bang. My dad would stop and look at me and I'm like, didn't blow up. And he goes, did you put too much powder in it? I'm like, I don't know. Gun didn't blow up. Let's keep going. Bang, 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 bang! I'm like, wow, that one sounded a little hot. So I'm assuming it might be like pressure issues. So I don't know what that white residue was in there, but hopefully it's all burnt out now.
You don't have a tumbler?
No. And I don't clean my brass. That was my only attempt at cleaning my brass. And I'm like, that was a bit of a fail.
Well, you can get what I got. And I'm going to look it up real quick because, you know, that makes good for podcasting.
I think what's even funnier is you're looking something up for the guy that can't even buy AR parts.
Yeah, but this is easy because, AR parts you can order online too. They're pretty darn easy. You can get what I got, which is the Frankfurt Arsenal tumbler kit. Looks like it had it on Amazon here for $118. And it comes with everything you need to clean your brass.
Separator and everything?
Pardon me?
Comes with the separator and the tumbler?
Yeah, it comes with the tumbler, separator, the media, the polish, and it even comes with like a bucket that the separator goes in.
There you go, George.
But really, what's the point of cleaning your brass in a tumbler?
Well, especially with an autoloader, you know, the cleaner, the shinier the ammo, the easier it's going to feed up that ramp in the chamber.
Yeah.
The crap on the case, it could get in the chamber and slow things down.
I shoot single action revolvers.
Yeah, and do you like it when your guns look nice and shiny?
They're matte black.
Damn.
He's got the cheapest one you can buy.
Sarah got the chrome one, so they're shiny. So.
I don't think they had chrome back in the 1800s.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
only the rich people could afford it, though.
So, anyways, so yeah, no, I've never cleaned my brass. I just keep reloading and keep making sure they go bang. And so, yeah. Anyways, so I don't know what this white residue is, but see what happens when we reload it and shoot it.
Jeez. Oh boy. Now I really want to try a match against you. I'm going to win by default because you're not going to have enough rounds to make it through a stage.
Make sure you throw some rifle stages in there. If he doesn't do his crimp properly, you're fine.
Yeah. No, I learned that lesson. That was hilarious. That was funny. Well, don't you crimp it into that space? What space? There's a crimp space right in the bullet that you put your crimp into.
Well,
really?
I'm gonna back you up here, George. I'm gonna admit something here that I don't want to admit. The first time that I reloaded Sarah's 38 specials, and it was my first time reloading pistol rounds, I reload them based on the overall length that my reloading book gave me. What I didn't realize is that if I pushed it down another, we'll say 16th of an inch, then it would have actually gone into the crimping ring.
Yeah.
But exactly. I crimped mine and I just crimped them into the bullet and it worked, but they just looked kind of goofy.
That's exactly what I did. I was like, I don't know, the book says to put them to this length, so that's what I did. And it was, they were going in about like a 16th past that crimping ring.
He was loading into the actual maximum that it's specified in the book, not to what the manufacturer is saying for the individual cartridge.
Well, see, well, my crimping ring was actually below the crimp, so I never saw it. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I went home, pulled out a bullet, and I'm like, oh, look at that. There's a ring around there. And now I crimp right into it. I'm like, look at that.
Convenient.
You really need that.
It's like they planned. It's like they almost planned it or something.
You really need that crimp ring thing, George, when you're reloading Magnum calibers. You don't crimp your 44s. It's going to go right out and jam up your cylinder.
Yeah, it doesn't. If you don't do a proper crimp in a lever action, it doesn't do very well for you too. Costs you 45 seconds when it's like the second round in a tube of 10.
And how many no-shows?
Yeah, we're just gonna give you 5 seconds per round on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I got last place, nice and secure.
Wouldn't you like to get first place, George? Just once. Even
you know,
wouldn't you like to just not finish last? Let's start with that. Baby steps.
Baby steps. Here's my thing. I don't have time to put in all the practice for dry firing, all the mental training and all that. I just want to show up, dress up like a cowboy and go bang, 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 bang. I'm not saying that I fanned my pistols this weekend. That's not what I'm saying, but I quasi kind of fanned them. I held the trigger in and then just pulled the hammer back each time. So I never actually pushed the trigger. I just kept the trigger pulled back and then just cocked it each time. And so I quasi-fanned my...
Yeah, you're not allowed to actually fan your gun in Cowboy, are you?
No, I don't even think you're allowed to do it in ranges. I'm pretty sure it's prohibited at my range.
Oh.
That's why I was being very clear on the fact that I did not actually fan it. I quasi-fanned it.
Yeah.
And then fanned the last four rounds before I left.
Yeah.
We don't have a rule like that, but I just don't like you doing rapid fire in the outdoor range, just because of the neighbor.
Oh, Santa got yelled at, when was it? I don't know, it was like two or three times ago. No rapid fire! My dad did a mag dump with his buckmark.
Oh.
And he got yelled at by, like, this 100-year-old man from the Black Powder Rage.
With a 22?
Yeah. I know, all 10 rounds. Bang, 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 bang. Go rapid fire.
But don't you have, like, competitive shooting at your range?
Yep.
So, what, do they have to, take their shots nice and slow when they're doing IPSC or whatever?
Nope. So they're allowed to shoot as fast as they want.
So, what's the difference?
Rapid fire.
and how are they supposed to practice if they want to show up on any given Sunday and practice their IPSC?
They can't. I know, it's the same with holsters. You're not allowed to wear holsters at our range.
Really?
But the Cowboys can walk around all day Saturday, holstered up, no problem. IPSC guys, they walk around all holstered up, no problem, but, you know, nobody else is allowed to.
That's just weird, because my club, they encourage you to holster.
It makes more sense. Like, what happens if you have to go to the washroom? Or you have to go to your car, or you're going downrange, or, you know, you're gonna leave all those guns on the line for somebody that could, like, walk up, bang, 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 in, like, 30 seconds, clear out two or three bays, and out they go?
Well, I think that was my club's philosophy on it. They figured that if you're going downrange to staple up a new target, you need two hands anyways, so either you have to leave your gun at the back, or they'd rather you just holster it and bring it up with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if it's holstered, if it's cleared, made safe, and holstered, what's the problem?
Yeah.
But now, mind you, we got a guy at our club that went on a rant and a tirade at our AGM because Caliber magazine has automatic army rifles that has no purpose but killing people, and was going on about how horrible an infantry. He was talking about AR-15s. And it's like, you know, you get a couple of those types of in, and they start screaming, and, you know, squeaky wheel gets the oil, right?
Yeah.
We finally are permitted to actually load more than 5 rounds into our pistols, into our 10-round mags now. That's how ridiculous it is. It was funny, because I got lectured by a board member. This was before I was on the board, because my dad and I were loading 10 rounds into our magazines. And then when I heard that they were changing it, the person I was talking to, I'm like, yeah, you better make sure that, like, is this coming from the board of, oh yeah, it came from the board of directors. I'm like, well, there's at least one that gave me and my dad crap. So, yeah. You better make sure he knows about it.
For the common law, I've been to ranges where they still have the 5.
Really?
It makes no sense to me.
Well, what it is, a lot of those ranges were bullseye shooters. And it's 5 rounds in the magazine, so they applied 5 rounds to everybody. My Port Perry, it was 5 rounds until I joined, and they changed it just before I joined to 10 rounds. Same with Northumberland, there were 5 rounds, and they changed it.
That's kind of crazy.
What you want it to say is magazine capacity. That's what you want it to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know what? We've, like, totally derailed. I've completely lost. Where were we?
You were telling us about how you didn't buy any AR parts this year, and how you probably won't this year again.
So have we killed that topic?
We killed it, ran it over, backed over it, and stabbed it to death.
Had a couple George rants in there. No show is fully complete without a George rant. That's just my own personal opinion. Because it's my opinion, it matters. That's what my mom says. I'm special.
Yep, you are a special snowflake, George.
I am. Yep. I am, I am, I am. I'm unique, like a snowflake. No two snowflakes are alike. That's why I was always on the short bus. Anyways. Alright, let's... anything else for New Year's? Any goals, aspirations? Anybody? Anybody?
No.
Crickets.
Okay. Excuse me. Sorry. Normally I try to mute myself.
Well, at least the mute button works this time. I can see it coming at least.
See, told you. Normally I turkey. All right. Events. Oh, if we have any listeners left. Let's see. Gun Girl calendars. $25. This is the CCFR, the Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights. There's a link. I'm not going to actually read the link. Check it out on the show notes. $25, Gun Girl calendar. Oh, that was supposed to be Mike.
That's Mike, okay. You did a bang up job, so.
You want to tell us about the Gun Girl calendar, Mike?
And Mary's on February?
I think she was February. Somebody had posted up, had opened theirs up and posted a picture of it. And I think it was of Mary. I think she was February. Okay, event number two is Got Your Six. This is something coming from Mr. Uzi. Check out their website. I don't know what their website is. I'm not even sure if they have dates yet. Whoever put this in the show notes, just put gotyoursix... Mr. Uzi.
That's because when I go back to look at the other documents, they're gone. So I had nothing to copy and paste over.
Do this. Look for Mr. Uzi on Facebook and send him a message.
I don't know who you would find though if you actually Googled Mr. Uzi.
I have no idea either.
Or you can call him at 905-555-1212.
I hope that's not a dirty number.
It could be. I don't know. I just made it up.
Okay, my next New Year's resolution is not to try and derail the show as much as I normally do. And that's just going to go into another in the category of failed resolutions. So why bother? Did you check out what happens when you search Mr. Uzi on Facebook, Mike?
I did. You get like a couple of Russian hits. Oh. Like, I don't know who they are, but like in, what do you call it? In like their description. It's in a language I do not read.
Oh, I wonder if they're hacking
DNC. They're all MR Uzi or MR Uzal Uzi. Oh, Bangladesh. Yeah, so you will not find the Mr. Uzi by searching Mr. Uzi in Facebook.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yep.
Perhaps when he listens to this show, and if he's not embarrassed to be a listener, he'll write in and give us some information on the event. Or he may just go, yeah, I don't want to be associated with that show anymore.
Why don't we just have him on the show to talk about it?
See George's previous comment 10 seconds ago. That got a laugh out of Mike. I'm finally cracking him and I'm getting some responses. Awesome. Okay, I like I like Benny too much to read his email and butcher it and massacre it, so I'll let somebody else read it. Okay, yeah. I'll do it. Message from Benny. One of you guys want to do it?
Oh, you do.
Okay. You're doing a bang-up job there, George.
Oh, Benny, I'm sorry, buddy.
It's but one line.
No, it's not. Well, I'm doing it on my phone, so it's like a few lines.
Let's see right. How far he goes, Mike.
I did have one thing to add to your EDC episode. After my wife needed to use my knife, I got her one to carry. Don't fight them, convert them. This is where you're going, Tom.
Okay, I just want to see if you're going to keep reading.
No. Normally I would have, but Mike kind of brought it up and went, this doesn't make sense. Okay.
Well, so now they have matching folders because I think they both have the same knife now. And actually, Terry carries a small Swiss Army knife. I got her a couple years ago, so she mostly uses the scissors, but she does carry it every day. His next step is to put my compensated 22 with a red dot in her hands. That might spark her interest in pistol shooting, Benny. And I'll babysit. You bring her up. I'll look after little Zeb. You two can shoot.
Trying to catch up to where you left out a part. But okay.
Yeah.
Continue on. All right. So Facebook from Tim. My buddy Tim. Oh, I didn't pre-read this.
Okay. Here, I'll read it then. Yes, I was pleasantly surprised I wasn't wearing sleigh tracks after the after that show. Now if Santa would only send me one of those 911s.
That's right, I remember this now.
You know the Porsche kind? Laugh out loud.
And then Thomas has me saying, well, the reindeer did dump on Texas, Tim, literally. You know, I was a few eggnog and spiced rum into that show, so I'm not really, I don't even get that reference, but it was given to me to read, so I read it. All right. Please send any feedback, questions. You know what the worst part is that I haven't had anything to drink. I can't even fall back on that as an excuse. All right, moving on. Please send any feedback, questions, or comments you may have to host@newshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, or in our comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca. Stitcher and iTunes. As of today, we got another 5-star review. Or no, we got 5-star rating, but no review. They didn't leave a comment, but we appreciate it all the same. If you have anything, if you use anything other than iTunes or Stitchers, leave us a review and let us know so we can find it. And we promise not to let George read it because he butchers everything. That's why Jason never sends us events anymore, because George can't read.
I don't see that.
It's called implied. Ad-libbing. It's called ad-libbing. Facebook likes. Thomas, how many do we have?
1,002.
Dun, 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 dun. That's pretty awesome, man. Yeah, 1,002. I have to go. Oh, my bank just texted me.
You didn't win that lottery money, right?
No. I have to go back and see if Wes still likes the page.
He did last time I checked it.
Did you actually check?
Well, no, when you go to the website and it says, like, you know, 27 of your friends also like this page, and it happens to say, like, Wes and someone else, I can't remember who else it was, but I remember seeing Wes there.
Oh, okay. Attaboy, Wes.
So, and no, I don't go through all my friends and go, do you like my show?
There's a little button that says invite friends to like this page. Click.
I was going to say. And for those of you that care, Canadian Redneck just went up a like. We're up to 731 likes. So if you have not yet liked Canadian Redneck, go over there and give him a like.
Yeah, I like the redneck dream catcher that you put up. That was cute.
All right. So.
I don't even think I even like your page.
I know Mr. Uzi does, because he posts up in comments from time to time. Thomas has been posting up from time to time. And Wes, the running joke, if listeners aren't catching it, whenever I make reference to Wes... Wes said he liked it just so he could unlike it later. Because when we did our post charity shoot, when we were talking, I don't know if it was before the recording or after the recording, I was talking about the Canadian Redneck page and how it constantly goes up and down in likes, and he made the comment, he goes, really? People actually unlike pages? Like, who does that? I'm like, I know, right? Who would do that? So
you won't tip the whole time, probably.
That's kind of the running joke behind that. You know. Anyways, I've lost my show notes. I'm lost.
Whoa! Who here is surprised?
Oh my goodness! See, this is why I drink when we record. It keeps me somewhat on track.
I was gonna say, so you have an excuse.
All right, closing comments. Okay, there's none there. Closing comments, gentlemen. Okay, moving on.
Crickets.
Shoutouts. I'm going to give a shout-out to all the listeners for subscribing, downloading, and listening, and really tolerating me and enjoying my co-hosts. But mostly tolerating me. Thank you. That's my shout-out to the listeners. Yep.
thanks for a great year, and hopefully we'll have another one.
And podcasting with George has been a definite test to my sobriety. But I did make it 30 years sober today.
Congratulations. Hey, you know what? My closing comment, I'm going to back up a bit here. My closing comment is, for 2017, I hope Thomas keeps coming with the zingers. Because those were awesome, buddy. It's always been one way with me making fun of you and being so old. Because, you know, I think Dust looks at you and goes, man, he's old. But, you know, it was nice getting some zingers back. So I hope you continue that in the new year. That was awesome, man. That was great.
I'm writing them down now, and I'm keeping notes.
I know. When you get old, the memory goes. You got to write them down, or else you forget them.
Well, the eyesight's already starting to go. I have to get a new prescription. It's been less than 6 months. But everything else is working okay. I don't need those little magic blue pills, at least.
This is like the best episode of 2017, I swear.
Well, we started off the year with a bang, right?
Oh, man, that was fun.
Yeah, I was shooting a 1911, or not a 911, 45 at midnight, blasting holes in paper.
All right, so until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoke good.
Take your kids shooting.
Time spent at the range, a time spent with family. Goodbye, everyone.
Well, I really like 22 Mag.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
Well, I got to sneeze. Maybe not. Look at something.
Shiny thing.
Okay, catch you guys we're next so week. Close.
All you have to say is good night, and we're done.
Oh, I was going to sneeze. But no, I'm good. Have a good week. See ya.